This podcast is brought to you by ThrottleNet. ThrottleNet can provide world-class managed IT services and IT support to your business. They're St. Louis's highest-rated outsourced IT company, and there's many different ways ThrottleNet can help with your business's operation and digital protection. Check them out at ThrottleNet.com.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.
All right, it's to protect us, but really it's for the children, Gabe.
Oh, it's always for the children.
It's for the children. So hand over your personal information, will you?
Wait a minute, what?
That's how this works.
We have to, what are we doing now?
Okay, I'm just saying, it's for the children. Stop questioning. Both Republicans and Democrats say that you should just hand over your personal information.
That's going to be a problem for me.
Okay, well, let's find out whether you're right or wrong. 7:06 right now. I'm Mike Ferguson. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here, who's being obstinate about his personal information. And Stel Pontigas here. By the way, at 7:20, we have to talk about the man messing with a real St. Louis tradition. Oh, yeah. We're going to do that in the next segment, okay?
Okay.
All right. Big problems we've got with, we've talked about plenty with for instance, TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know, mining information, mining data, you know, tracking people, both macro, maybe even micro, depending on who you are. Other platforms now and possibly in the future could be a problem when it comes to either your privacy or to hacking and all kinds of things. So Republicans, Democrats around the country, different states, Utah, some others, they've said, you know what we need to do? What we need to do here is we need to start requiring the platforms to get more information to verify that you're old enough to be there or make sure that you have permission or somehow document who's coming in the front door, check in with the bouncer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've heard this. I mean, and there are some sites that actually have done this voluntarily. At the very least, they've had a little thing where you're supposed to sign off on it. But that's about
it. Well, and if it's voluntary, then you just pick whether or not you want to be there or not. But we're talking about government intervention here.
And
so
here we go.
And our friends over at R Street Institute, rstreet.org, Shoshana Weissman wrote a really thought-provoking op-ed here. It's called, If Platforms Are Required to Have Your Government IDs and Face Scans, Hackers and Enemy Governments Can Access Them Too. And Shoshana joins us right now. Shoshana, by the way, is in possession of, I think, my wife's favorite Twitter account, which would be Senator Shoshana. And so, Shoshana, good to talk to you again. Thanks for being on the program. But it's to protect us. It's to protect our children. I mean, if we have to sign up to make sure that we keep kids out of places they're not supposed to be, what's the problem? We're just giving up a little bit of privacy and liberty.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And yeah, like this is something that I didn't expect to get into because I didn't see it moving. And once it started moving, I'm like, oh, no. Because basically, like, the legislation in effect will require government IDs, your face scans or other biometrics in order to log into social media. And the concern is that they don't want kids on social media. This isn't about pornography where, you know, you understand the concern a little more, but these problems will still exist because age verification is actually a really hard thing to do online. Like in person, you see someone and you're like, hey, you're kind of young. Can I just check your ID quick? They don't maintain it. It's just like a quick thing. And it's not like in a database, but online stuff can be tracked really easily. There's proposals to make sure that platforms have databases of this stuff to prove compliance. And even where it doesn't say that, how else are they going to prove compliance except to say, hey, we have their face cams, we have their government IDs, we're good. And it gets more dangerous over time because it's going to go to IP addresses, the stuff that tells you all about you and your interests and your location and stuff. And, you know, there's privacy concerns with what some platforms are doing already, but forcing this stuff to access free speech is like, that's massive unconstitutional concerns. And it's also really, really dangerous.
Good morning, Shoshana. Gabe Pfeiffer here. So I think if the federal government drafted legislation to say, okay, everybody has to record their biometrics and their government IDs onto this website and, you know, at .gov, and then we're going to keep it and track it and keep an eye on you, everybody would rightly look at that and say, wait a minute, that's a step too far. But for some reason, we're being bamboozled by this whole TikTok thing, and I'm having trouble following how people aren't seeing this.
Yeah, likewise. And it's frustrating because even some Fourth Amendment rights people on both sides are missing a little. A lot of them are really good on this, and a lot of them are pointing this out as well. But a lot of states are running this. A lot of states are running it through their own departments. So you're still having this exact same issue like you're talking about. And one of the federal proposals creates a program through the Department of Commerce. Platforms wouldn't have to use it, but they get a safe harbor, which means that basically the government's not going to go after them if they're using the Department of Commerce program. And that program, the authors really tried to write it better, but there's really no way to do this, which is part of the problem. And then the other day, there's news that the Department of Commerce is feeding, like, foreign governments information about their citizens, and it's like, okay, so you're cool with giving your stuff to this department that's doing this stuff. Plus, I mean, if the government has their data, it's going to use it. We all fought back about the IRS using this stuff, about the IRS using biometrics, but to act, and that's for financial information, but for free speech, oh, well, you know, we can put up major barriers and enact cybersecurity concerns for free speech. That's fine.
We're visiting with Shoshana Weissman from the R Street Institute. Let me play devil's advocate a little bit, saying, okay, but we know there's bad stuff out there. It's the Wild West online. There's just freedom everywhere. You can't take a step online without stepping in some freedom, and it's really messy. And we've got to do something to protect kids or to keep people out of areas that could be dangerous. It's just the price of having an ever-growing cyberspace out there. What's the argument to say, what's the argument against, hey, we've got to do something?
For sure. So one of the big ones is that 20 and 30 years ago, this kind of stuff went through the courts already, and the courts were like, you cannot do this because it's going to stop a lot of free speech. Like, in your effort to protect children, you're going to stop endless amounts of speech. A lot of people won't be willing, at the time of credit cards, a lot of people won't be willing to use their credit cards. Also, kids can get their parents' credit cards. So what is this but a wink and a nod? So the Supreme Court said this. They're like, why don't you just use parent filters? I'm not saying that parents have it easy. Like, I know a lot of parents that struggle to keep their kids off social media and offline after they've discussed it already. But I think parent filters, conversations with kids are a really good way to go about it, especially because the government solution is just so flawed. It's not like this is like a pretty good thing and that would be better, but this is a really, really badly flawed thing that can, you know, harm our individual cybersecurity and our national cybersecurity. And the series I'm writing goes through like every little bit of it, all of the cyber stuff, all of the constitutional stuff. And you can't even make this work because you know, compliance is 100% thing. It's not like government's going to be like, oh, you tried, you're 70%, you're good. And the best, the most accurate age verification service that uses face scanning is only like 98% accurate. That's not compliance in the eyes of the law. So, you know, government is trying to do something that's impossible here. And I'm not saying, again, I know that parents have like a real problem with making sure their kids are doing the right thing online and protecting them from stuff. But the government solution is not better.
Good morning, Shoshana. This is Stal Pontikas. I'm not saying this is going to happen tomorrow, but isn't all of this putting us on that slippery slope to social credit scores like we see in China?
You know, it really could go that way. Here's a great example. Through the Department of Commerce thing, it says in the legislation, oh, you know, they won't say where you verified your social media. It just says that, you know, you're over this age and we have your info here. But how much do we trust that? How much do we trust that if there's a tiny social media site that that talks a lot against the government and opposes the government a lot, and you know, you go to find someone who's verified their age through it, and it's one of the people you thought was talking on that site, now that it's easier to unmask people online. It's already kind of easy. I think people underestimate. It takes a little time, but you can figure out who anonymous users are a lot of times. But this really gives the government a leg up in figuring out people's identity online. What if you sign up? What if you trust them and you sign up using your email that has the same username you use as an anonymous account? Then they have that. It makes it a lot easier to tell people, to tell who people are who oppose the government, and to go right after them.
Hey, Shoshana, let me come back to something you mentioned just a little bit ago about enemy governments, hackers could access all of this as well. Obviously, in all seriousness, we know there's been a number of data leaks that have happened from the IRS to others. What is potentially, and this is following up with what you just said, what is potentially the effect on us as consumers? I mean, once you get past the privacy and the Fourth Amendment and even possibly First Amendment, what could this mean to us as consumers? When we're talking about, just sign up for the database thing, get verified, you'll be fine.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to look at that and be like, I'm not doing that. If the government's telling them to collect my information later on, they're going to use third-party doctrine to try to, which is, it basically says that you don't have an interest in your third-party data. That was sort of overturned by the courts, not overturned, but it was like reined in a little by the courts. But there's still kind of this understanding in the courts that you don't have an interest in data you voluntarily give over, which means that information that you give to platforms. And, you know, in the same way that a lot of people have real cybersecurity concerns when it comes to TikTok, these laws apply to TikTok. They would force TikTok to scan your face or acquire your government IDs. And then that's, you know, for the same reason we're concerned about China having all that information, you should be really concerned. You know, you never know what government is tied in with what new platform that you're not aware of. My dad recently wanted to sign up for the shopping network, and I forget what it's called, but I looked into it, and I'm like, Dad, that's China. Do not, like, that's, like, Chinese run. Do not do that. It's, like, their government's thing. But there's risk all over. And, you know, what if these platforms leak your financial information, your IDs, your social security numbers, your face scans that prove it, that prove your identity? That's really, really dangerous stuff that we should not be encouraging.
Okay. And you can find this article and your whole series at rstreet.org. The one I'm looking at is, if platforms are required to have your government IDs and face scans, hackers and enemy governments can access them too. So it's almost like we should let a developing technology develop and not rush to get out ahead of it with regulations.
I like that. That's my dream, but I'm a dreamer.
All right. Senator Shoshana on Twitter is where you find her. You'll see that and also a whole lot more. It's one of the most fun Twitter accounts out there. So Shoshana, thanks so much for being on, and great work on the article.
Thank you so much.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.